Philippians chapter number 3, let's go ahead and read in verse number 10. We'll back up a couple verses, read 10, and then we'll get down into verse 13. The Bible says, Paul, of course, talking about all the things that were lost to him and that he counted but dung and all of his good works and all of his heritage. He says in verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, this is Christ, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so last week we looked at a few of these things. Verse number 11, we looked at some of the wording there. We talked about how some different versions change the wording of this verse as to read that someone is trying to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, as in they're hoping to work their way and have enough faith to get to the place where when the Lord comes back, that he is going to raise the dead and that they'll be worthy to be raised from the dead with them. And we talked about in salvation through Jesus Christ, you have obtained a resurrection from the dead. Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you've been given that power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord comes back, even so come Lord Jesus, when he comes back, you're going up. You're going up dead or alive. If you're dead, you're going up first. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. And so through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you've been given that. And Paul says in verse number 12, he says, not that I've attained unto the resurrection of the dead, meaning we're going to be raised incorruptible. That's what's going to happen. We're going down in this body of corruption, and we're going to be raised incorruptible. And we're going to be raised with a glorified body. And he says, I haven't attained unto that yet. He says, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be apprehended for that which I was apprehended. And we looked at those references also in Book of Acts. And Paul says, listen, I was called to do something. I was apprehended of God for a job, and that was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and stand before kings and to preach Christ crucified and to give light unto the Gentiles. And he says, I'm still trying to reach the potential of what God wants me to do where I am. And that's when we get to verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I'm trying to get to the place that God wants me to be, and I'm not there yet. I'm trying to be there. That's what he says. I'm working my way there. By working, I don't mean to salvation. He means step by step. I'm getting there. I'm trying to do good works and to be where God wants me to be in this life. He says, I'm there. I'm trying to be there, but I'm not there. And why? Because it's a humility. Paul says this in a humility. Paul understands that he was given the revelations from God for the New Testament that we have doctrinally and that God put together for us. God gave those to Paul, and God also gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, and God did all these things so that he could use Paul to his greatest potential. And Paul understands his own shortcomings and his own frailties, and he says, I'm not there. Now, I read Paul and I say, wow, Paul just always seems like he always has the victory, you know? He gets beat up, he gets stones thrown at him for preaching the gospel, and he gets back up, and I don't want to say he jumps back up, but he gets back up and he says, all right, going back in. And I'm like, wow. He's either really bold and really filled with the Holy Spirit or a masochist or both. One of the two. But he says, let's go back in. He's in prison and he's singing songs in prison and he just always seems to have the victory that I don't always seem to have. And I say, wow, look at that. And so I can look at Paul and say, all right, well, As far as man goes, someone that seems tangible, I have a long way to go before I can reach Paul. But Paul says, to be apprehended for that which I'm apprehended, he says, I've got some ways to go. I still have a ways to go. He was humble about it. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, this one thing I do. Now, it's not the only thing that he does. He says, but this one thing for certain, for sure, this one thing I do. And what does he say? Forgetting. Forgetting. Now, this seems counterproductive to everything I ever tell any of my children. But Paul says, you know what I do? I forget some things. I walked out to my car this morning, and I usually bring my suit. I wear more relaxed clothes. I bring my suit and everything, and I hang it in my office, and then I get dressed when I come down here. And so I walk out with my suit, and I go to get in my car, and I sit in the car, and I go, oh, I probably should use dress shoes with this suit. So what do? I go back inside, go get my dress shoes, although I'd love to wear these ones, but let's get some dress shoes, come back out to the car, sit in the car, don't even get the key in the ignition yet, and I go, okay, we're going to do this again. Back into the house I go, find my phone, where was my phone, where did I leave it, right? Say, are you always that absent-minded? I don't think so, but I'm beginning to know that I don't even know if I'm that absent-minded. I can't even remember if I'm that absent-minded. So off we go, back in the car. Okay, I'm leaving this time. Off we go. So it seems counterproductive to some things in this world, but what does he say? This one thing I do, he says, I forget some stuff. I forget some things. Now, there's some things in the Bible that we shouldn't forget. All right, I'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Moses talks to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Start reading in verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. I have right here, the verses we're going to read, 11 through 20, I have in my margin of my Bible, the United States. That's what I have. But look what it says here. Chapter number 8, verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, let thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. A warning to Israel not to forget God. Not to forget the Lord and all the things that the Lord did and all the strength that the Lord gave and all that the Lord provided. It's a warning to Israel. It says, don't forget. Don't forget. And what did Israel do? Oh, they forgot. They forgot and they started burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and they started worshiping other gods and they started taking on the abominations of the other nations that they were supposed to destroy and kick out of the land. They forgot. They forgot the Lord. You and I shouldn't forget the Lord. And right when we start to think that we have some things under our belt in this Christian walk, we should be reminded, without the Lord, where would we be? If it wasn't for God, where would we be? If it wasn't for the Lord, you and I, in whatever service the Lord's called us to do, we'd have quit a long time ago, and we'd have tried to ride off into the sunset with what we thought was going to be an easier and a better life and all those things. We would have done that a long time ago if it wasn't for the Lord. And thank God for His goodness and His mercy, and sometimes thank God for His firm hand to keep us on the straight and narrow. We shouldn't forget, America's in a bad shape. America is not the same as Israel. Americans are not the replacement of Israel. Christians are not the replacement of Israel. God has one chosen people, and that's His people, the nation of Israel. And you and I have had the blessings of God being in this country and living in this country and having forefathers that came across the Atlantic Ocean to say, we want to have religious freedom. We don't want to be held down and held down by a state church and by tyrants and by popes and by the King of England and all the rest that were, whether it was Protestant or Catholicism, we want to be free to worship God and worship Him according to the Scriptures. And there's no doubt that we have a blessing on this country because of that. But, I mean, look at where we are now. And what do I say? I say, Lord, here's how I pray. Lord, bless the Christians in this country and the Christians around this world that are trying to live for You and that are trying to live according to the truth and that are learning what the truth is and learning about Your Word and learning about what You want. Lord, bless them and keep them going and protect them from this world. Because, I mean, we can say God bless America, and I enjoy the song, and I hope God does bless America, but I hope He blesses America for the Christians and not for the sin and the debauchery and the wickedness. God's not going to bless that. He's not going to bless it. And if we're careful, we start to think, well, America, because we're Americans, right? And we're the most important. And some of you that are two missionaries sitting in here this morning, you understand, once you get outside of this country, America isn't as much. America isn't the America that you tend to believe it is. Other people are just living their lives and going about their business often. But here, we get this idea that, well, America's God's nation and God's never going to do anything to America and we're just going to, we're a sheep nation all the way and we're going to stand by Israel. Man, we're on a downward spiral for decades. And God isn't going to, just because we're called America, just because we started one way, you can see it here. He tells His own chosen people, hey, if you forget Me, look out. Look out. And I'm just praying the Lord comes back, or the Lord has mercy on churches like ours and Christians like you that are trying to live for the Lord. But don't forget, look in Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not My law, but let thine heart keep My commandments. Don't forget the law. Look in chapter 4, verse number 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of My mouth. A couple other warnings. Don't forget the law. Don't forget what God has given us. Don't forget wisdom and understanding. If the Lord's given you any, thank God for it and don't forget it. And stay in His Word and don't forget His commandments and the things that He's given us. There's certainly some things in this life that we shouldn't forget. But Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting. Forgetting. So what does that mean? That means Paul forgets some things. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul says that he's forgetting some things. He's forgetting those things which are behind. There are some things that you should forget. And I'd like to say, firstly, I guess, as far as some things you should forget, he says, those things which are behind. So those are the things in the past. Those are things behind us. And he says that I forget those things. I forget what's behind me now, and I go forward to what's ahead of me. He says, whatever's back there, I forget about it. I mean, the Bible says, remember Lot's wife, doesn't it? Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? She was leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, and she had some children back there that were... She saw the fire and the brimstone coming down out of heaven, and she knew she had some children back there that were going to die. And for a mother or a father, that's a tough thing. And the angels say, don't look behind you. Don't turn around. You just get away from this place. Don't turn around. And what she does, she turns around. She turns into a pillar of salt. And the Bible says that we're not supposed to forget Lot's wife. But what happened? She was turning around, looking behind her. And Paul says, I don't spend any time. I forget those things which are behind me. He says, I go forward like this. In sports, they say that you have to have a short memory. You have to have a short memory because if you lose or something happens in the last game and you're trying to look forward to the next game, it's going to affect you mentally. You can't be prepared for what's coming next. And as a Christian, if we're not careful, the same thing can happen. That you'd be good to forget in light of going forward. You'd be good to forget some successes for the Lord that you've had behind you. And say, yeah, but those are the ones, that's what keeps me going. Those are the things that feel good. Those are some memories and some things I don't want to forget. At the time in my life when I was doing something for the Lord, or a spot where the Lord used me greatly and I saw the Lord do something in my life. Yeah, but I've seen many a Christian. I've talked to many a Christian that you talk to him about doing something for the Lord. You talk to him about being a faithful member of a church. You talk to him about getting involved in a ministry. And they say, well, I used to. And then out comes the list. Boy, I used to do this. I remember back when I taught a Sunday school class here. I remember back when I had a Bible study here. I remember back when I used to do this at the job site, or I remember back when I... And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's someone that has a bunch of years on them. It's just someone looking back to another time and saying, this is what I did for the Lord. And this is a time when I was busy doing something for the Lord, and this is a time when I was, boy, I was all in and... All in, see how I did it? I worked it in. There was a time when I was all in, and there was a time when I was doing this thing. And what they're saying is, I used to be doing that stuff, but now I'm not doing any of it. And because I did it before, that's going to carry me all the way through until the end. And this Christian life has no retirement. Now, it doesn't mean that you always in this Christian life have to be doing the same things. Because when you do get some years on you, you don't have all the energy you used to have. I mean, the thought, I need to take a nap right now thinking about doing an all-night teen event. All night long. You drop your kids off at 7 in the evening and then you pick them up at like 7 in the morning. I need to take a nap right now thinking about doing that again. I know some of you are going, oh man, when I was your age, I had all kinds of energy. I might have a lot of energy, but I don't know what to compare it to yet. All right, so cut me some slack. All I know is when I was doing it in my 20s, I was ready to go. But now, you know, I just crawl into the house and no one talk to me, you know. But the things that we do for the Lord, that changes over time. But we can't be constantly looking back and saying, oh boy, I remember that time when I did this. It'd be good for some of us to forget about the successes that we used to have and think about going forward for the Lord and saying, what's the next thing? How can the Lord use me in the next thing? How can I be available for God to use me for the next thing? What can I do? How can I be ready? How can the Lord use me to minister? How can the Lord use me to help? Or how can the Lord use me to have a part of what's going on? There's many ways. We're not going to talk about all those ways, but it'd be good to do that. Of course, it'd be good also to forget about the failures of the past and the things that we didn't do right and the things that we try to forget. And I say try to forget, but some people don't try that hard to forget. Some people just hold on to things and say, boy, I really messed that up back there. If I'm honest with myself, I really messed that up. And well, that just sealed it for me. I'm not going to do anything else because if I messed everything up like that, then I'll just do more harm than good. Yeah, but you won't mess everything up like that. Why? I'd say, how do you know? Because God's merciful. And because I've messed up a bunch of stuff before. And probably will continue to mess up stuff in the future. Say, why? Because you're going to make mistakes if you're attempting to do anything for the Lord. And you're not always going to say the right thing. And you're not always going to do the right thing. And you're going to let some people down. And it's just what's going to happen. But instead of remembering just the negative and stop you from going forward, you should forget it. You should forget about it. Look in Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm glad the Lord has a short memory. Hebrews chapter 10. Say, wait a minute, I thought the Lord knew everything. He does. He does know everything, but the Bible says He also forgets. Say, how does God forget? I don't know. I don't know how can a God that knows everything forget? I guess He chooses He's going to forget it, and then He forgets it. Hebrews chapter number 10, look in number 15. Hebrews 10, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now He's talking about the nation of Israel. We were just reading Deuteronomy and tells them, hey, don't forget the Lord. And the Bible says here, and this is also a parallel passage to Jeremiah 31. You don't have to turn there. But Jeremiah 31, He says the same thing. He says, I'm going to make this new covenant with Israel. And when I make this new covenant with Israel, which hasn't happened yet, it's in the future. When I make this new covenant with Israel, I'm going to forget their sins. I'm going to forget their iniquities. And I'm going to I'm going to put Myself on their hearts. And they're not going to have to teach one another anymore about Me, because they're going to know who I am. And that's going to take place in the future when God, after His final judgment on Israel, in the tribulation, He's going to do that for them. But what's He going to? He's going to forget. He's going to forget their sin. I'm glad when I got saved, the Lord was able to forget. I'm glad when I asked the Lord to forgive me of something that I do now, I'm glad because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to forget. So what do you mean forget? To act as if it never happened. He forgets, He forgives like it never even happened. Now you and I, we have trouble with that because we can't forget, especially when we get hurt. Especially when somebody hurts us. It's hard to forget. It is hard to forget. And sometimes it's hard to forgive. But if you have some sins of yours that are under the blood, then say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to forget about it. I'm sorry, and I'm going to do my best to forget about it. Now, maybe you messed up and you have to say, I'm sorry to somebody else, and that adds a whole different element to it. But if you have to say sorry to somebody else, then say, I'm sorry. And try to move on for the Lord. And do your best to fix up the situation and to patch everything back together and go forward for the Lord. Do your best to do it. And if you're going to go forward, you're going to have to forget. You're going to have to forget some things. And there's some emotional things that we can get caught up in and can affect us. But what can you do? Go to a place where it's just you and God, and get on your face before God and say, Lord, I need to forget. Because you take something back to the Lord, and the Lord in essence says, we talked about this before, right? It says, yeah, okay, well, I've forgiven you. Go forward. And it's days or weeks or months later, and you come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm really sorry I did that thing. You know, the Lord ultimately... What are you talking about? The old song, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I don't know the rest of the words, but the Lord, it's gone. Move on from it. Let's keep going. Let's keep walking. Let's keep moving. The sins are under the blood. If you did the wrong thing and needed to get it right with the Lord, then you need to get it right with the Lord. Maybe you were the one that was done wrong too. And you were the wrong was done to you, all right, then whoever did it to you, they were wrong. But if they've tried to get it right, or if they've tried to, if you've gotten it right with the Lord, or someone else has gotten it right with the Lord, and you're still holding on to it, now you're wrong. And there's just some things you need to forget. There's some things you need to let go in the past and forget about them. Some people have done some rotten things in life, and they get saved later in life, or maybe after they've been saved, done some rotten things. And if you're not careful, you can get this mindset and say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done, preacher. The Lord can never use me. Well, lucky for you, maybe I don't know. Right? We're all human. That's why we don't stand up and confess our sins one to another. And so what happens? Well, I don't know. But what the Lord does. And say, yeah, that's the problem. The Lord knows, and He would... And there's no way He could use me again. Well, why don't you let the Lord figure that out? Why don't you let the Lord determine that instead of you determine that? There's not one person the Lord's ever used that hasn't messed up somewhere along the line. And I know several preachers that they won't even talk about their past, and they won't even bring up stuff, and they won't even go there in their testimonies or anything else. Why? Because it's dark and it's ungodly. And the Lord saved them like He saved you. And what happens? The Lord says, all right, that's back there. Say, well, Paul wouldn't know anything about it. You know better. If you know your Bible at all, Paul mentions it several times. He says, I'm the least. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I was persecuting the church. I was killing people that believed in Christ. He was doing it with a zeal, but he was dead wrong. And what happened? Well, the Lord used him. I think He used him. Say who? Someone that was killing Christians. The Lord said, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to use you to preach my gospel to the Gentiles. Paul knows something about it. You know what he says? I forget what's behind me. I forget what's behind me. Why? Because Paul could have just sat down right there in prison or in some town where he was rejected. He could have just sat down there and said, man, God can't use me. I just messed that up. I said the wrong thing. Maybe if I'd have been a better testimony for Christ, maybe some more people would have gotten saved. And boy, I blew it. Or whatever the circumstance was. And then he starts getting down on himself and he thinks about how he killed Christians. Who do I think that I am? Thinking that I'm an apostle of God? Thinking that God would call me to do some great thing, and what would happen? Well, he'd just sit there and he wouldn't get anything else done for God. And sometimes people do that. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to let let things go. But you need to. You need to. For your own sake. For maybe some other people's sake. Maybe some people in your own family's sake. For the people that God can use you to reach, you need to let some things go for the Lord. Why? Because the Lord can let things go. The Lord can. And the Lord's a lot more gracious than you and I can even imagine. The Lord's a lot more forgiving than you and I. We tend to put the Lord in the same place, in the same confines of man, and the same confines of what you know of yourself. Maybe you're a really forgiving person, and you can say, boy, yeah, God sure is forgiving. Maybe you struggle with it, and you say, boy, God sure, he's no way that He could forgive all those things, because we put Him in the same box that we're in. And we say, that's God. He can only do these things, because that's how we are, that's how we think. And yet He so far exceeds, and He's so far outside of what we are and who we are. He even tells us, He says, listen, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts, they're not your thoughts. I'm not like you, is what God says. And He's so far above and better. Paul says, I forget some things. He says, I forget those things which are behind. And he forgets those things which are behind in order for him to be able to go towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't have all that extra stuff weighing him down. He says, Lord, please help me. He says, three times I asked you to take something from me. And you said no. You said my grace is sufficient. And so Paul says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to glory in this infirmity now. Instead of asking you to take it, I'm going to glory in it, and I'm going to go forward for the Lord. And you take it to the Lord, and every time the devil will bring it up all the time. The devil will always bring stuff up, the past. Always bring it up. But the Lord says, I've forgotten about that. I remember at some times thinking of different things that I had done when I was a teenager and some testimony and things that I should have had and some individuals that could have been on a good path, and I turned them towards a carnal path, and I think about it sometimes, and I'm like, man, I can't believe that. And the Lord said, all right, well, what's in front of you? And I'd say at different points in my life, all right, well, there's a bunch of teenagers here. All right, well, point them towards Christ. All right, you messed that other one up. But point them towards Christ. Why don't you try a two for one? Try to get two turned for Christ for every one that you were a bad influence to. Why don't you take what's in front of you and go forward? And say, boy, I really messed that up. I had a better opportunity. I should have done this other thing. Maybe if I'd have said this, or maybe if I'd have just reached out and called somebody one more time, maybe they'd still be in church. That's stuff that goes through pastors' heads. Maybe if I'd have just done this one other thing or just preached this one message better, boy, we'd have some more people here. Somebody else would have gotten saved. And the Lord says, well, who's in front of you? And I'm like, well, this group right here this morning. He says, all right, well, do something. Help them. Give them my word. What do you got to forget? You got to forget some things in the past. And you have to forget it so that you can move forward for the Lord. And that's what he says. He says, and he forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about what's before us. Well, the Lord has, we don't even know what the Lord has before us. But he has something for us to do. And he has something for us to accomplish for him, for his glory. And let's press towards that and forget some things in the past. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a break this morning before our main service and shake someone's hand that you don't recognize this morning.